A sermon for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, August the 24th, 2025. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. O Lord, you have called us to enter your kingdom through the narrow door. Guide us by your word and spirit, and lead us now and always into the feast of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Today our sermon text is from Hebrews chapter 12, 12 to 17. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone, and for holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled, that no one is sexually immoral or unholy, like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. This is our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And now a sermon entitled, Pushing Past the Runner's Wall. In last Sunday's epistle, we listened to the author of the Hebrews as he compared going the distance in the Christian life to running a long-distance race. He said, Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. He made it clear that you and I do well to focus on the finish line, where Jesus is, coming to him who made it possible for us to be with him in the first place. In today's text, we heard him return to this metaphor and give a warning that picks up on something most of us have heard about, even if we have never experienced it. You see, a runner may have a really good start and continue well for a time. However, in a certain place in his race, he hits what is called a runner's wall. This happens when he experiences sudden fatigue and loss of energy. This results from the depletion of glycogen stores in one's muscles and liver. Marathon runners will experience this around 30 kilometers into their race. At this point, the runner will want to slow down a lot or possibly quit. He feels that he cannot go on. However, if at this point he is able to ingest a drink with some carbohydrates, and if he digs deep and forces himself to keep going, then he will push through the wall. You see, after a few minutes, his body will release free fatty acids, which will renew his strength, and then he will be able to keep going the distance. Well, though he would not have known the science behind it, the author of our text seems to be aware of the runner's wall, and he was concerned for Christians running the Christian race should they hit the wall. He was afraid that when the Christian life gets hard and one feels as though he cannot go any further, that the temptation to quit will be strong. Instead, they will need to take a little refreshment and press on towards the prize of the upward call in Jesus Christ. In addition, he indicates that the wall will arise in the race as one is tempted in the direction of sin. This can happen when a conflict arises, especially with a fellow believer in Christ, someone running alongside you. This person does something that offends you and puts you off. You don't want to be where he is, running alongside him any longer. You want to quit the race just so you don't have to interact with him any longer. To quit the race due to a conflict with another runner would be a grave mistake. The author of our text points out this out, saying, Strive for peace with everyone. He goes on to say, See to it that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Indeed, such roots are like sin, which clings so closely. We get tripped up as we allow these bitter roots to take us, possibly along with others, out of the race. It is here that we are Fortunate, for as Christians we know all about the power of forgiveness. Jesus, the one who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, did that in order to win forgiveness for the whole world. Jesus shed his blood on the cross in order to make atonement for mankind's sins. He did that as the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus' death on the cross means that all who trust in his sacrifice for us receive forgiveness. With forgiveness of sins, there is eternal life and salvation. That this forgiveness is available is verified by Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Amazingly, forgiveness is available even for those who crucified our Lord. Recall his words from the cross when he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In a way, we could say the same applies, likely, to those who have offended us. Chances are they really do not understand just how they have hurt or offended us. Instead of allowing their sins to cause us to quit the race, how much better it is simply to forgive them and keep on running. However, the offense of others isn't the only route that causes us to hit the wall as we run. What else can our various temptations to sin? One that has taken and still takes Christians out of the race is getting tripped up by sexual immorality. The author of our text says, "See to it that no one is sexually immoral." Sexuality is a strong biological urge, and it serves a good purpose, resulting in husbands and wives becoming parents and raising families. However, it's an urge that has to be kept in check, that we don't misuse it and so quit the Christian race in order to pursue it instead. The author says we are to be not to be unholy like Esau. Recall that Esau was Isaac's first son, and he lusted for the heathen women. Genesis speaks of how two Hittite ladies caught his eye, one named Judith, another named Basemath. This did not work out well for Esau nor his parents, for we are told how they made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. The author then compares Esau's sexual immorality to the time he sold his birthright for a single meal. That's what happened when once he returned from a hunt famished. All Esau could then think about was food. Jacob had something ready, and Esau, in exchange for a single meal, sold his birthright as the eldest son to Jacob. So too, for one opportunity to indulge in sexual immorality, people have betrayed their marriages and their faith, leaving the race that is marked out for them. It's a foolish exchange. These two things that cause Christians to stop running the races set out before them are specifically mentioned in our text, unforgiveness and being unchaste. However, there are other things, too, that tempt us. Another example is greed. St. Paul wrote to Timothy how the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It's through this craving that many have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Yes, the love of money can also cause one to hit the wall and leave the race. Each of us have different weaknesses and are prone to different temptations, ones that are different than the three now mentioned. They become to us like a runner's wall. They stop us from going further and following Jesus, that we cross the finish line. However, it is here we need to realize that we have to push on. As we are told, "Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." And in order not to get stopped in our tracks by the wall, the author encourages us, "Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed." Therefore, a solution to help a runner through the wall he hits, to lift his drooping hands higher, to strengthen his weak knees, and to keep his joints from being put out of socket, is to ingest some carbohydrates. These, for us in our race, are the Word of God together with the Body and Blood of Christ in Holy Communion. Each Sunday we come to this rest stop in order to be refreshed through the means of grace. Here our feet are set again upon straight paths, and we are healed. The Holy Spirit returns us to the path of holiness. This is a life no longer entangled in roots of bitterness, but forgives. This is a life that isn't distracted with sexual immorality, but seeks purity. It's even a life that isn't craving more money, but is content and thankful for what one has. The author of our text teaches, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And we know that if we desire to finish the race upon which we have embarked, the key is looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. To get distracted and look away from him towards these various vices is to risk not finishing the race. Hence, the author sums it up by saying, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. Indeed, we want to complete our races, faithful to the end, not getting held back by any runner's wall like the Apostle Paul did. He reached the point where the finish line was just before him, as he was imprisoned in Rome and soon to be executed. Yet he managed to write one last letter to Timothy, to whom he said the following, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Yes, he had pushed through any runner's wall that he encountered. He was soon to cross the finish line to be with Jesus, saying, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. However, it wouldn't only be for him, it would be for all the faithful who endure to the end, saying, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Therefore, lift your drooping hands, and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.